You know, they make some fabulous wines in Spain, Carmela.
Well, I would expect nothing less.
But did you know that one of the great wines of Spain is not all that well known?
Really? I didn't.
Yeah, well, we're going to try and change that today as we taste and learn more about the Spanish gem Priorat.
Okay.
Hello, and welcome to the Wine Pair Podcast. I'm Joe, your sommelier of reasonably priced wine, and this is my wife and my puzzled wine pairing partner in crime, Carmela.
Hi there.
We are the Wine Pair.
Did that sound puzzled enough?
That was really puzzled. Okay, a quick orientation for those of you who may be new to the podcast. In each episode, we learn about taste and give our honest review of three wines that are reasonably priced, meaning under $20 each. It should be easy for you to find, and our podcast is made for people who want to learn more about wine, who want to find new wines to enjoy, and just want someone to talk about wine in a fun way that regular people can understand.
Perfect!
And we'll be that someone.
We are, anytime.
Yeah, and we're proud to say that we are recommended by the editors of Decanter Magazine, who call us fun, irreverent,
chatty,
and entertaining.
Are you breaking the rules today?
I'm breaking all the rules. Oh. And Carmela, you might be wondering why we are talking about a Spanish red wine that is considered one of the great wines of Spain. Do you know why?
Oh, I know why.
Why?
You don't even have to ask.
Why?
Because we're going to Spain!
We're going to Spain! Woo-hoo! Yeah, that's
like,
right.
Like, not a virtual trip. Like, a real trip.
We're actually going, people. Can you believe it?
We're not joking around like, oh, let's go on an Italian wine adventure. Or a Spanish wine adventure. We're going on an adventure.
That's right. So we're going to be heading to Barcelona in a few weeks. And before we go, I want to bone up on my Spanish wines, particularly those from in and around the Catalonia area. And so for those of you out there in listening land, you can expect to see some episodes for the next little bit.
See?
That will focus on Spanish wines and wines that we are likely to encounter.
I didn't mean see, like,
in Barcelona.
Yes.
See.
I meant like see, like you can expect to
¿Te
see.
¿Te gustas? Okay, we have never been to Spain before. You
no,
haven't been,
neither.
Have you?
No, neither.
So this
neither
is super
right.
exciting. And our oldest son and his girlfriend are going to be traveling with us, so
Yay!
That's extra special. Mm-hmm. And I think many people in the United States may be unaware of this, but Spain produces a lot of wine.
Okay.
It is the third largest producer of wine in the world behind France and Italy.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. And it's just ahead of the United States.
Awesome.
And those four countries are by far the biggest producers in the world. The next one is like Chile and Australia and South Africa, but they're much smaller compared to those first four.
The big three.
Yeah, the big four, really, with the United States.
True.
Beyond that, when people think of Spanish wines, Carmela, especially Spanish red wines, I think they think of Rioja.
Oh, for sure.
And that, because that, I think, is you're like...
That's not the first thing that came to my mind.
No, because you don't think about red wines.
No,
you would
no.
think about white wine. What no, are some white wines?
Cava. That's all I'm thinking about, actually.
Well, there's some other white wines like Albarino and Verdejo
we've definitely drank Albarino.
That's right. But Rioja, back to the red wines, mm-hmm. Rioja is a red blend that focuses on the Tempranillo grape.
Okay. Tell me about it.
Well, let's tell you a little bit about it. In Spain, there are two wine regions, or DOs, and that stands for Denominación de Origen. I don't know how to say that in Spanish. And they are considered the top, and they even get a special classification of DOQ.
Okay.
Where the Q stands for qualified, and it's similar to the Italian qualificano. It's similar to the Italian classification of DOCG, which is a step above DOC.
Uh-huh.
And in 1991, Rioja got this top designation of DOQ, and in 2003, Priorat was also given it. But
nice.
I don't think that people know a lot about Priorat. I don't. I don't think I've ever tried it before.
Do you out there in listening land?
Yeah,
if
let
you
us
do,
know.
Yeah.
Let us know what you think. So it just so happens that Priorat is in an area that is in Catalonia, which is Barcelona is in Catalonia. And so I expect to see a lot of Priorat around on our trip. And I want to know what to expect when I drink it, because I'm not sure. Again, I don't think we've had Priorat before.
Right.
And it's considered one of Spain's great wines.
Mm.
And my understanding is that Priorat, Carmela, I hate to tell you, is a big,
fruity,
bold red wine. That's right.
Okay.
So, for those of you who have listened to us for a little while, you might know that's not exactly our cup of tea, but we're going to be open-minded because we're going to Spain.
Yeah, we are always open-minded.
And I kind of think no matter what you think about a particular wine, when you drink it in the country, come on. Give me a break.
I mean, there's nothing better.
Nothing better.
Right. You got to do it. When in Spain.
Drink the Spains.
Right.
The Spanish wines.
Right, right.
Now, in future episodes, we're going to cover Cava, which is Spain's great sparkling wine and also from the Catalonia area.
Hooray.
And then I'm going to cover another Spanish wine called Zacolina, which is a white wine. We haven't done white wines for a while, so we're going to do that. Mm-hmm. And that's from northern Spain, but it's on the other side of the country in the Basque region. And I think we're also going to do an episode on Rioja coming up.
Is this all before our trip?
Yeah, because we got to bone up on our Spanish wines.
That many weeks before we go?
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh.
And by the way, Carmela, just so you know, because it's not all red wines.
It's not all roses.
That's right. In Barcelona, we may see some white wines called Aleya, and that's made of Garnacha Blanca and or Jarello, which is sometimes
good
called Panza Blanca.
Your pronunciation.
Yeah, the Garnacha Blanca is a white Grenache. And so, but this wine, unlike Cava, because we're also going to do Cava, which is a white wine too.
Mm-hmm.
But unlike that wine, Aleya is not an easy wine to find in the United States.
Okay.
So I'm not doing that one because I tried to find it and I couldn't find it. And
right.
I don't want to spend $1 million to try and...
You don't want to keep trying to say it over and over again. And
that's
then
right. Because I can barely talk and I don't even know what I'm talking about. There's a ton of editing here because I don't know what I'm talking about. Okay,
on a Saturday morning.
Let's get back to the topic at hand because we have three Priorat wines that we're going to taste and review today to see what we think and get used to them. And before that, we have to do a little bit of self-edumacating. But before that,
you got to do our shameless plug.
That's right. So we want to thank you for listening to us and supporting our show. And now is a great time to subscribe to the podcast. Thank you to all of you who have subscribed already. And another thing you could do for us is leave us a nice rating and review on our website or Apple Podcasts or Spotify. That would be awesome. A great way to support us. And you can follow us and see pictures of the wines we're tasting and trying today and weird AI pictures on Instagram at the Wine Pair Podcast. And you can go to our website, thewinepairpodcast.com, and sign up for our email newsletter there.
Oh my God.
That's right. We got a bunch of new subscribers in last week.
Cool.
And we also just love to hear from you. So you can email us at joe@thewinepairpodcast.com. And I got an email this week from Debbie. And I think Debbie might have been trying to punk me. I'm not sure.
Ah.
But she asked me about a red wine that's kind of an inexpensive red wine. And I answered it very seriously. But I don't know if she was trying to mess with me. Debbie,
why?
If you're trying to mess
why?
With me, let me know.
What would make you think? What would make you
this
think
is
she
a
was
very
trying?
Inexpensive red wine.
Well, why would that?
I don't know. I'm just wondering. I answered it in a very serious way.
Did she reply?
No. But I thought maybe she was trying to punk me, but I don't know.
What
maybe
do you mean
she might
punk you.
You know, like, I don't know.
Trick
like
trick you?
Exactly.
Into what?
To like talk about a cheap red wine that, you know, she was trying to mess with me. I don't know if
she was like,
trying to mess with
this
me.
This is going to bomb.
These dummies.
They'll
anyway.
Do just, they're like,
they'll
Mikey.
Do anything.
They'll try anything.
They'll do anything.
Not
all
Mikey,
right.
our Mikey, but
no,
like,
not,
you know,
right.
Mikey with the Life cereal.
The Life cereal guy. Yeah, that's right. And as we do every week, we'll tell you someone we think you should tell about the Wine Pair Podcast. And this week, we want you to tell anyone who loves big, bold red wines, especially if they like Rhone-style blends, because both of those wines, the wine today and Rhone-style blends, are made with the Grenache grape. So this could be a good wine for those fans of Rhone-style blends or Grenache wines.
And are going to Spain.
And are going to Spain's and don't know much about this Spanish wine called Priorat.
Okay.
So there you go.
Love it.
Now, I could have called this episode, Carmela, What the F is Priorat, but I didn't. I'm calling it something different, Spain's Hidden Gem. But the first thing we should mention while we're starting to learn about Priorat is that this wine is, again, from the area of Catalonia in the northeastern area of Spain. It's near the border of France, and it's an autonomous area within Spain. And I'm not going to get too much into it because I don't really know that much about it. I'm kind of ignorant about the history and the politics.
So you don't want me to ask you a bunch of questions?
Please don't.
Off-script questions.
Please don't, because I don't know.
Okay.
But it is a region where people have a very distinct sense of self-identity, and they are self-governing, and they've been trying to become an independent country. So it's going to be super interesting to go there.
Right. Okay. But what does that have to do with the wine?
Well, it's in Catalonia. So we should know about the culture and the history. This is part of the fun of wine, is that you should know the history and the culture and the people.
And if you can experience it firsthand,
that's
why not? Right?
Exactly. Now, within Catalonia, there are many areas where they grow grapes and make wine. In fact, there are 10 DOs in Catalonia. And as I mentioned, Priorat is the only DOQ in the region and one of only two in all of Spain. And as is often the case with European wines, this is true of Italian wines and French wines, not always, but a lot of times, the wine is named for the region, not the grapes. There is no Priorat grape Priorat is the...
It's kind of a weird name.
I know. I agree. And Priorat. I did look up how to pronounce it. And I think
you got it right?
I think so. Okay. Now, Priorat, they've been making wine for a long time in that area, at least since the 1100s,
wow,
when the Carthusian monks decided they wanted to plant some grapes and make some wine. They're like,
get drunk.
That's right, because we ain't got no women, so we're going to get some wine. Okay, so this area of Spain gets super hot in the summers, and there are only certain types of grapes that are going to grow well there, and they tend to produce, as I mentioned before, pretty powerful and high alcohol wines. And again, they're generally made with Grenache and Carignan. And remember Carignan?
Mm-hmm, I do, unfortunately.
That's right. That was not one of our favorite episodes. But maybe when it's blended, it's better.
Right.
But anyway, the red wines of Priorat have to be at least 13% alcohol. At least.
Oh, gosh.
That's where they have to start.
That's like part of the deal.
That's right. So this is not
a
wine.
It's in the contract.
It's in the contract. Okay. You can't. It's part of the writer. So this wine is not for the faint of heart. This could be a punch you in the face wine. Could be one of those.
Okay.
Now, the soil evidently...
Hold on to your seats.
Hold on to your butts, people. The soil in Priorat is supposed to be pretty unique where they grow the grapes. The soil is called licorella. It looks like licorice. Mm. And there's a reason for that.
Really dark.
It's really dark. That's right. It's made up of black slate and clay and quartz. And it's really rocky. And it forces the roots of the vines to dig deep for water. And because this is a warm, like Mediterranean climate, there's not a ton of rain. So the area is actually kind of stressful for grapes. And I mentioned this last week, but that is good for grapes.
Interesting.
When you're trying to grow wine.
Make them stressed out?
Stressed out. Stress, evidently stressing out a grape is okay to do.
A positive thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
And the reason why is because it forces the plants to focus their energy on growing the fruit and not things like leaves.
Well, and so there's all the, you know, peer pressure.
That's right.
So many like, other
you're
things
such
to
a
loser. Like,
toughen
about.
Up.
Yeah.
Toughen up a little.
Wow. And you're like, great. What am I wearing?
And, exactly. You know, and I can't get any water. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Okay, but some people say that this special soil, licorella, which you're going to see on some of these wines, Carmela, is on the label, it's crucial to the unique character of Priorat wines.
Okay.
Priorat is often described as having a minerally or stone taste or smell to it.
Okay.
And I have a number, I don't know all of this stuff. Obviously, I look it up, I research it. So there's a bunch of links in the show notes. Did you know we have show notes?
Wait.
Yeah. So
we have show notes?
Yeah. So if you go to our website and you find this episode, you can click on the episode and dig down for the show notes. And there they are. And there's links. It's lots of really cool information. So learn yourself, people. Come on. I can't answer everything. Okay. When it comes
But you like to.
I do.
You like, you're kind of
I
a
really
know-it-all.
I'm a nerd.
So.
It's totally true. It's totally my MO. Now, when it comes to the grapes in Priorat red wine, it is a blend rather than a single varietal. And the key grape is Grenache, which is also known as Grenache de Negre in Catalonia. And by the way, there is a separate language in Catalan. They have their own language. And the other grape commonly associated with Priorat, as I mentioned, is Carignan, which is sometimes known as Carignana or Samso. They just gave it another name, Samso.
What?
Just
they're like, all that other stuff, it's too hard. If it's too hard, just Samso.
Samso. Now, in the traditional Priorat, the wines are made usually just from Grenache and Carignan, but that is actually becoming a little less common. So there are several other grapes that are allowed and are becoming more common in modern versions of Priorat. Some of these grapes include Garnacha Peluda, Cabernet Franc, Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot, and Syrah. Now, Garnacha Peluda is not a grape I was familiar with, but the name means hairy Grenache, which I can relate to
because
I'm kind of hairy Joe.
Kind of like have a bond with this grape.
That's right.
Okay,
because I might be a little hairy myself.
A hairy grape. I think that's weird.
Well, the reason it's called hairy Grenache is because evidently the plants grow fuzz on the underside of their leaves, if you know what I'm talking about. And it helps them not lose so much moisture in the hot weather, if you know what I'm talking about.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
They're sweaty grapes?
Hairy grapes. Which, again, I can relate to.
Wow.
Yeah.
And this is really quite a picture.
That's right. I'm sorry, people, if they've got an image in your mind of me and my grapes, but that's your problem. Okay, but this Garnacha Peluda, get your head out of the Peluda. This Garnacha Peluda is a cousin of the regular old Grenache grapes, but it creates a lower alcohol and higher acid wine. But anyway, now you got, people are like, I can't even think about the wine
fast
right now.
Forward through
I'm
that.
Just thinking I know, about hairy men and grapes. Okay, now Priorat wines are aged for a while before they're sold. Some called Criancha are aged in oak for about 6 months and then spend 18 months in the bottle. Mm. Reserva wines are in oak for 12 months and spend 24 months in the bottle. And Gran Reserva wines have to be in oak barrels for 24 months and then spend 36 months in the bottle. So these are wines that need some aging. They're going to be released after a few years, but even so, they probably need a little bit of time. Hmm. Now, the wines, we're going to talk about the wines that we're going to drink in a minute, but these are relatively young. Hmm. And so I opened them up about a half an hour ago just to kind of let them breathe a little bit because I don't want them
to
be...
We'll see if we think it's affecting the taste, not having it a little bit older.
Or not decanting it or whatever. So on that note, I think it's time to learn a little bit more about the wines that we are going to be drinking today. What do you say?
I'm ready.
Let's do it. Well, again, as I mentioned, we did go a little bit, when I say we, I mean me, go a little bit outside of our price range for this episode. Hmm. But I think that's probably going to happen more and more because, inflation and stuff.
What will the price point be, though, in Spain? Did you do
it? Ooh, I don't know, but it'll be an euro.
True, but I wonder if it's cheaper there.
I don't know. Actually, it might be a good exchange with the euro, so we might win there. Okay. All the wines in this episode are between $21 and $22, so we're not way off of our $20 limit, but we are a little bit outside the range. Again, there, like a lot of good wines, there is a wide swath of price ranges for Priorat, but I think it's going to be hard to find any that are under $20. Mm. I just don't think you're going to find
them. Wow, that could be interesting then. It might be something special.
Could be. Now, I will say that Priorat is not a super hard wine to find. It is one of the big, red wines of Spain, but it's also not the most common either. So you'll find Rioja all over the place, but I don't think Priorat is super easy to find. But I think if you go to a large wine shop or specializes in Spanish wine or something like that, you'll find them. I had to go to a wine shop in Seattle called Mad Wines or Esquin. They're not a huge, huge, huge shop, but they always have a really good selection. Mm-hmm. And they have a good selection of wines from all over the world. So I was able to find some Priorat when I was there. So the first wine we're going to try today is called the Gill Family Estates Licorella. There it is. Vins Blue Gray Priorat. So that's a long name, but you can also hear in the name of the wine that they're calling out the Licorella soils. Mm-hmm. And they also call the wine Blue Gray, which refers to the blue and gray color of the slate or the soil. Now, I couldn't find any reviews of this specific vintage. We're drinking the 2020, but other vintages have had ratings in the 90s from different professional reviewers. That's nice. Now, this wine has a really interesting blend. It's 40% Grenache, 30% Carignan, 20% Syrah, and 10% Merlot. So quite a few different grapes in there. And the winery says the grapes were hand-picked, and each grape type was fermented separately in small batches for 10 days and then aged in French oak barrels for 6 months before it was blended. So that's really interesting. Hmm. So each of those different wines that we talked about, those grapes and those wines, they're made into their own wine first for 6 months,
and then they mix and mix. Interesting. Yeah.
So that's it. But I don't have much more information about this wine, so we're going to move on to the next one.
Okay.
The next one we're going to taste and review today is called Cellars Unio Larencia Priorat, and this is a 2021 wine. And this wine, like the last wine, and I didn't mention this about the last wine, but they're pretty high in alcohol at 14.5%.
Wow.
So we're going to get blasted today.
My goodness.
This wine
might feel like we're in Spain tonight.
We're spinning. Wow. I feel like I'm flying. Oh. Okay, the wine is aged. I sounded like Gingy from the...
Shrek.
Okay, so this wine is aged in oak for 6 months, according to the winery. And the winery also says, again, that the vines grow in poor, rocky soils. The Licorella soil. And they grow between 300 and 2,300 feet above sea level. Now, this is what they say on their tech sheet, and I love to find tech sheets. Mm-hmm. Average production per vine is often less than 1 kilogram, and this confers excellent properties upon the grapes, which become pure gold in the hands of a good winemaker.
No.
It probably sounds much better in Spanish.
Yeah, probably.
Okay, just for context, the average, because they said 1 kilogram of production per vine, right? Hmm. The average healthy vine will produce about 3 kilograms of grapes. Ooh. So these are very concentrated. It's only making 1 kilogram per vine. So they're going to be concentrated.
Interesting.
And again, couldn't find out a ton about these wines. So the
What's
last
the year on this one?
This one is a 2021.
Okay. So 20, 21, and then 21 again.
Mm-hmm. I think that's correct. Let me just double check.
Just curious. That,
well, actually, now I'm not sure. So actually, I lied. It's the 2020. We're drinking the 2020.
Okay.
So there you go. Thanks for asking, because I said 2021, but you checked me on it, and I was
check
I was
yourself.
Wrong. Check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Right.
So now the last wine we're going to try today is called La Cartuja Priorat. It's also, well, I shouldn't say also. It is a 2021 vintage, and this one I'm pretty sure about. And I believe it's 14% alcohol, so just a smidge lower than the others. But by the way, I'm just going to have to say, finding information about this wine was super tricky, so I hope to God I got it right, because I'm not fully sure.
It's okay.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's okay.
Oh, thank you.
Don't lose sleep over it.
Okay. I didn't sleep well last night. Okay, so this wine evidently has a different blend, as long as I've got the right one, than the other two. And this is 70% Garnacha and 30% Mazuelo, which is another name for Carignan.
Oh, no.
Yes, it is.
I was just about to say, oh, wow, no Carignan. But...
No, it's Carignan. Mm. There you go. But a little bit more Grenache than Carignan.
Okay.
The wine is fermented, I think, for 8 days. 2 of the days, which is via maceration, which again is a way of saying the juice is soaked in the skin and the stems and the seeds and all that stuff to give it color and tannins. And then it's aged for 6 months in large French oak barrels. And I will say that my guess is that these wines are probably going to be a little hot.
I bet.
A little on the hot side. Oof. But we'll see. And then the winemakers say, I think, they say, if I found the right information, that this wine comes from an estate that has been growing grapes since the Cartusian monks were doing so in the Middle Ages.
Huh.
And that's where the name comes from.
Okay.
La Cartuja. So there
like
you
it.
Go. And if I got the right one, it's a single vineyard wine. And this vintage was rated, I think, a 93 by Wine Enthusiast and given an Editor's Choice Award.
Mm.
But I might have the wrong wine, so I'm not sure.
My goodness.
So I think that's enough information. Hopefully most
Somebody
of it is correct.
You know, check his work.
Check
Please
me.
Do.
I've got pictures and stuff, but you know, it's hard to find the information sometimes. Mm. So we're going to take a little break and we'll be right back and we're going to try our first wine.
Awesome.
Okay, we are back, and we're ready to try our first wine. This wine is called the Gil Family Estates Licorella Vins Blue Gray Priorat. It's from Catalonia, Spain. This is a 2020. It was $20.99 at Mad Wine, also known as Esquin. 14.5% alcohol. Again, 40% Grenache, 30% Carignan, 20% Syrah, 10% Merlot. And what are you smelling?
It's
actually a pretty smell. It's big.
What are you smelling?
Flowers.
Oh,
flowers
really?
Right
really?
The
like what kind of flowers? Like old, kind of new, like, dry?
Kind of like rosy kind of flowers. It just has a flowery smell to me.
Okay.
But also like cherries, like ripe cherries.
Yeah, I would agree. I'm thinking like a dark cherry. That's, yeah.
I'm getting a little bit of like coffee or cocoa.
Coffee or cocoa, huh?
And a little smoke. Yeah.
Okay. These are all really
It's rich.
Good.
Like yeah. It smells rich.
Yeah, I think it is too. I'm getting like maybe even a little bit of plum, like a dark plum, though. It smells quite sweet, too.
It does. I'm getting just like the like a cherry cordial, like a chocolate and cherry candy.
How about a little licorice, too?
Little licorice?
A little licorice, like black licorice almost. Or like anise, you know?
Let me swirl it, but it smells hot to me. It smells a little hot.
Not as bad as some of the other wines we've had.
If you swirl it, you get a little bit of that. Almost, it's a little bit earthy, but almost like airplane glue, like gluey.
Airplane glue? What is that? Like
you know,
model airplanes?
Yeah.
God, do people do model airplanes anymore, do you think?
I don't know, but I still sniff the glue.
Well, I was going to say, it brings back a memory, I bet, huh?
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, let's try it.
Okay.
I'm excited to try this. Hmm.
Wow.
It's
spicy.
It's spicy. It is spicy. Ooh, on the back
like paprika.
End.
Paprika.
Mm-hmm. On the back end, it's got kind of a lingering aftertaste. The front, yeah, it is spicy. juicy. It's very juicy mm-hmm. and jammy. Mm-hmm. It's
like a cherry jam.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of smooth, but it's got kind of a smoky aftertaste to me.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's very tannic, but there's something that
it dries
stays
off though.
Yeah, stay like, but it there's something that you can still taste afterwards. I'm not quite sure. Maybe it's a little bit of slate.
Mm-hmm. I think it is a little rocky you know, or slaty.
Yeah. Hmm. Interesting.
It tastes young to me. Hmm. Like it's hot, it's a little hot on the front end. Like the fruit is
it's
a little
kind
hot.
Of bite. A little bit of a bite too.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wouldn't say, I actually think it smells fruitier and more floral than it tastes.
I think it's too young.
Yeah.
I think it's a very nice wine, but too young. I actually think it's quite a
it's
good
wine. It's almost
a
little bitter too, like pithy.
I just think it's too young. Mm. I think it's too young, and I think it should have been decanted and let breathe for a while, but I think it's a young wine. That's my
take. So
that's
what
my
do you
take.
Think? How many years more would you let it sit?
Probably 4 or 5 more
oh,
years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let it mellow out a little bit. Because it's a bit, it's a...
I mean, they said...
It's just not smooth yet, but you can tell it will smooth out.
Yeah, I think so. What are you going to eat with this wine?
This is a meat, red meat wine.
Yeah, I think it can do a real juicy steak.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. Even like flank, you know, like
grilled right, or I'm thinking, stuffed.
Yeah.
Like a really good. Bracciole.
Yes. Or even like fajitas.
Ooh.
Would be really good with this.
Mm-hmm.
Strip steak, you know, kind of juicy and.
Like grilled barbecue.
Lots
like,
of grilled mm-hmm. stuff.
I think
would
so.
Work really nicely.
It'd be really
this.
Good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think anything kind of charred too would taste really nice, whether that's bread or vegetables or. Or
ooh, a focaccia.
Meat. Yeah. Or a pizza or whatever. Grilled mm-hmm. pizza or wood-fired pizza.
Mm, nice.
Well, let's do a little bit of rating. So as a reminder, on our rating scale, we rate on a scale of 1 to 10, where 7 and above means that we would buy it, and a 4 or below means we're likely to pour it down the sink, and a 5 or a 6 means we're likely to drink it and finish it, but we're probably not going to buy it.
Okay.
So what rating would you give this Gill Family Estates Licorella Vins Blue Gray Priorat wine?
Well, it's always hard. The first one's always hard for me because you don't, you know, not that you want to be comparing, but we compare. You just
do. Yeah.
So I, you know, I'd like it. I'd finish it. I'm going to give it a 6.
Oh, wow. You're giving it a 6.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give it an 8.
I think it's
a very, very good wine.
Okay.
I think it's very young. Like today, I would give it a 7. But I think the promise of it is an 8 or more. I think it's a really nice wine.
Okay.
And so I think... Yeah, I'm going to give it an 8. We always reserve the right to change our rating, but I think it's a pretty darn good wine.
Oh, nice. That's good to know.
Yeah. Hmm. So we're going to take a little break and we're going to try our next wine.
Okay.
Okay, we're back and we are ready to try our next Priorat. This is called Cellars Unio Lorencia Priorat. It's from Catalonia, Spain. This is a 2020. I had it wrong the first time, but now I got it right.
Okay.
2020, $21.99 at Mad Wine / Esquin. 14.5% alcohol, 50% Grenache, and 50% Carignan. And Wine Enthusiast, I think, gave this wine a 92. But Carmel, I'm just going
to
start.
Oh, you need to because I can't get that out of my head now.
Yeah, the first smell, it's really, this one is not as dark as the last one, but it's the first though. Smell to me was like cinnamon bear. It was like
and
a cinnamon candy.
And now I cannot get that out of my head. That's what, it's definitely, I mean, cinnamon gummy or a cinnamon
bear.
Ball.
A cinnamon bear.
Yeah, I mean, it is. There is such a cinnamon.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus. My
almost
God.
Almost caused a real wreck.
Yeah, that was almost a lot of like swear words.
Screaming.
Cussing and swearing. anyway, yeah, no, it's very cinnamony. It smells really nice. Mm-hmm. I like it. Or even like big red chewing gum.
It does.
You know?
Super cinnamony and sweet.
Mm-hmm.
There's candy on it or sugar.
Yeah, it's like a sugar. I'm almost thinking like candied fruit, you know, too. Like, I mean, like a blood orange that has that candied, ooh. You know,
you're
it's
getting
dry.
Citrusy.
Well, I don't know if it's citrusy or not. I just, oh my God.
Next.
Remember.
Round 2.
There's a high in alcohol.
Oh, we're going
it's only
cray
our
cray.
Second
yeah,
wine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. What was that?
I don't know.
Yeah, no, I'm not really getting a ton of citrus. I'm just getting that candied, cinnamony, sugared smell.
Yeah, I kind of want to taste it and just see what it tastes like because I'm not getting a ton of fruit. I want to say maybe there's some
little
cherry.
Smoke, though, too. Smoke, maybe yeah. A little bit of smoke.
Mm-hmm. Mm. But I want to try it. Look, can we try it?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's just dive right in.
Mm. It's kind of fruity and tart on the front.
It's kind of cinnamony too.
Kind of, but I think it's fruitier than I expected.
It could just tear up your tongue.
Really? I feel like I'm getting cherry, like a sweet cherry on it.
But you know, when you have a sweet dark
cherry, a ripe black cherry. Sorry.
No. I'm just laughing about big red gum because
aftertaste is totally cinnamon.
Well, and you can eat, I will put 2 pieces in my mouth.
Put 8.
Yeah, and we're just like, and then by the fourth or fifth.
3 minutes of chewing.
No, right. And then you spit it out and you got to have another couple. And then your mouth is raw because it just can't take all that cinnamon.
I can't take it.
It's so good though. This is what I'm kind of tasting on this wine. Mm-hmm. I can't get past it.
Mm-hmm.
If that's not something else somebody tastes, we're just going to be what are you talking about?
Yeah, I'm getting a fruit, red fruit on the front, but a cherry, but not a sweet, a Pinot kind of sweet cherry, but a sweet candied cherry kind of. And cinnamon. And maybe a little bit of tea or there's something very tannic on the back end, like a tea or a stone or something on there.
A little bit.
It's kind of nice. I kind of like it.
I'm kind of digging it.
I'm kind of digging it too. These are not the same kinds of wines. This is not I was expecting more of that Cabernet, boom, kind of taste. And
no,
it's really
I don't
not
think
there.
So. Yeah. Mm-mm. I mean, it's not it has a nice mouthfeel, but it's not, it's a little tart, more tart than, and it doesn't just punch you in the face.
Yeah, no, I'm liking it. What food would you have with this wine?
Oh, I think you could do a lot of the same things. Definitely red meat would be, I mean, you could do a burger. I think you could do a spicy pasta too, you know, a puttanesca or arrabbiata. Something spicy.
I kind of feel like this wine more than the other wine, you could just kind of drink too. I think they would be good with food.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the Gill Family Estates really needs food. And I don't know that this wine, it needs food, but it could be fine on its own too.
Like a cocktail wine. Glass of wine.
I think it's really nice. I think it's really nice.
Yeah.
Well, let's rate it. What rating would you give this wine, Carmela?
So I'm going to give this one, I'm tempted to give this one an 8.
Oh boy.
I like this one better than the first one at this point.
Really?
Yeah, it's different. It's different. Tastes very different to me.
It's smoother to me.
Yeah.
Smoother.
Smoother. And I mean, it's not as hot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm enjoying it. What about you?
I'm giving it at least an 8 as well. I kind of want to go higher, but I'm not sure if I will.
Okay.
But it's a very good wine. It's fun to drink. It's enjoyable.
It's interesting. I mean, it's different and kind of.
Can you imagine being on a warm Spain day and drinking a little wine?
Imagination is going to come true.
Little tapas.
Nice. Yeah, tapas.
I think it'd be really good.
Okay.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a little break and we're going to try our last wine.
All right.
Okay. We are back and we are ready to try our last wine. This is the La Cartuja Priorat. It's from Catalonia, Spain. It was a 2021. It was $21.99 at Mad Wine or Esquin. 14.5% alcohol, 70% Garnacha, 30% Mazuelo, which again is Carignan. And this one got Wine Enthusiast gave it a 93 and an Editor's Choice. And I will just say right off the bat, it smells terrible.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a little bit of cork in mine. Is there?
But that doesn't mean it's corked.
I know, but
I'm
just saying that's weird too.
I don't know if it's cork or
what is that? Yeah, it looks like
caca. this is a bad wine.
I think it's a bad wine. I hope that's
it smells
the case.
Bad.
Kind of smells like garbage. Oh, he's diving in.
It smells really bad. Describe what it smells like while I try and taste it.
Okay, it is kind of like garbage or like seawater.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it just kind of tastes off. It's off-putting. Like you would not be. You don't really. It's not something you feel like you should put in your body. It's one of those kinds of wines.
It tastes a little vinegary, I think.
Yeah. A little damp, a little bit damp basement. Ooh, I don't know. What are you tasting? I'm afraid.
It's not tasting as bad as it smells.
Those weird black licorice candies, those hard black licorice candies. You know what I'm talking about? From you think it's going to be kind of good and then you put your mouth and it's kind of hard.
No, I know. And they're salty.
Yes. It kind of has that smell.
It's stinky. It's very earthy smelling.
But you're not getting, I'm afraid to taste it.
Taste it. Come on. You got to taste it. Do it. Do it.
No.
Do. Just try it. It's not as bad as it smells.
Tomorrow.
If you're going to wake up tomorrow.
I think it tastes bad.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I don't know if it tastes bad. I'm just saying.
Here, let me have
your
glass.
I'm not sure if it is bad.
Hold on. Well, we had a little conference, me and Carmela, right, because we're just not sure what to do. And we're a little bit nervous about this wine because it's like, it smells funky. It's got funky funk in the glass, which is
we don't want to die.
We don't want to die.
We don't want to die. But we also, I don't know if it's fair because we just, so, I don't know.
We're calling this one off. We're just calling this wine off. We're not even going to rate it because it's probably corked. So we're not even going to bother to rate it. We're just going to pretend like it never even showed up.
Okay.
We're giving it a pass.
I think you should.
So, Carmela, which of these two wines that we tried, because we never tried a third one, which of these two, do you get it?
I get it.
She's not happy about it. Which of these two wines would you finish?
I am going to go for the Uño.
Okay. I think.
Is it Uño or Unio?
Unio. Maybe it's Unio. It's the Laurencia. I think you can have that one and maybe I'll try the other one and we'll kind of like split. But they're both really good wines. Yeah. That third one that we didn't try, I don't know.
What the heck?
Okay, well, let's talk about the taste profiles expected from Priorat.
Okay.
In general, Wine Folly says black cherry, plum, crushed gravel, licorice, chocolate.
Okay.
And Wine Tourism said ripe red cherries, black stone fruits, rich baking spices.
Wow, we did well.
Yeah, so Gil...
They did well,
they
basically.
Did.
Yeah.
They did. Gil Family Estates Licorice. Vins Blue Gray Priorat. The winery says this wine shows enduring flavors of blackberry and cherry and delicate accents of nutmeg and star anise on the note.
I said anise.
Yeah,
I'm
there
so
you go.
Proud of myself.
And then well integrated tannins with dry thyme notes.
Oh.
Sellers Unio, Laurencia Priorat. The winery says aroma of red fruits with toasted notes and hints of raisins in the mouth, full bodied and potent, concentrated and reminiscent of preserves and cocoa.
Oh, nice job.
Wine Enthusiast says nose of cassis, which is black currant, red delicious apple peel, interesting, and clove. Mm. Notes of mint and eucalyptus come on strong and then recede to reveal flavors of cherry, raspberry, clove, and coffee bean.
Okay.
I think I got coffee. Clove, we were getting all that cinnamon, but it was more
clove. And the mint, and I think that all can kind of contribute to a cinnamon smell and taste.
Yeah. And then Wine Chateau said classic Priorat with concentrated aromas of licorice, tar, and cherry liquor. Powerful and full-bodied with dark red fruits, toast, cocoa, and raisins. Hmm. So there you go.
Okay.
So we're not going to talk about La Cartuja because we think we had it wrong, but I think we did okay in the tasting.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think I liked Priorat. I was very, very, very skeptical. Because I don't really love Rioja, and I thought it was going to be a similar kind of wine.
Mm-hmm.
But I quite liked it.
I'm very happy with it, and I am very much looking forward to drinking it in Spain.
I am too. I'm really sad about that third wine, but we'll see if it was just a bad wine or they just don't make very good wine. I don't know.
Yeah, well, we're giving the benefit.
We are. We are. Okay, Carmela, it's time for us to go. But before we do, we want to thank you very much for listening to us. And if you haven't done so yet, now would be the perfect time to subscribe to our podcast and also a fantastic time to leave us a nice rating and review on our website or Apple Podcasts or other podcast service. And that's a great way to support us and help us grow listeners. And we would love to hear from you about a wine you'd like us to taste and review. And so you can leave a message for us on our website, thewinefairpodcast.com. And you can join our email newsletter there. And you can always email us at joe@thewinefairpodcast.com and tell us about wine you're curious about or all that kind of fun stuff. But with that, we're going to sign off and we'll see you next time. And as we like to say, life is short. So stop drinking shitty wine. Goodbye.
Bye.
Always think too much.